We continue our learning. We are in Rosh Hashanah Perek Aleph, Mishnah Ches. The previous Mishnah spoke about Eidus HaChodesh. Our Mishnah is going to take this opportunity to teach us those who are pasul Eidus, those who are disqualified for Eidus, for testimony in general in a Jewish court, specifically those who are pasul Midirabbanan. Midoraisa, anyone who has the status, the title of a Rasha, is pasul Eidus. The Pasuk says, Al Tashas Yadcha Im Rasha, Lihios Eid Chamas. And Chazal expound that Pasuk to mean, Al Tashas Rasha Eid. A Rasha is not supposed to be placed as a witness, and is not permitted to give, his testimony is disqualified. What's the definition of a Rasha? So that's derived from a Pasuk at the end of Devarim, Pashas Kiseitze, Vahoya Im Bin Hakos HaRasha. It's in the context of Malkos. So who is getting Malkos? A Rasha. So you see from here, so someone that's Chayiv Malkos, who violates a Torah prohibition for which you Chayiv 39 lashes, and certainly someone who violates a Torah prohibition for which you Chayiv Kares, and certainly if it's a Chayiv Misas based in, is called a Rasha. Such a person, therefore, is Pasul Eidus. And the same thing is true for a Ganav and a Gazlan, even though such a person is not Chayiv Malkos. There isn't a Chayiv Malkos, it's just because Geneva Gezela is a Lav Hanitak La'ase. It's a negative prohibition which can be rectified through a positive commandment. The Torah says that you have the Heshives HaGzela Asher Kazal. The Torah says that there's a way to rectify the Geneva, the Gzela, and that's return it. So anytime you have such a prohibition that can be fixed, let's say, for example, leaving over from a carbon called Nosar, you don't get Malkos for that, not only because it's a passive prohibition, it's a Lav She'ein Bo Maisa, there's no action there. But in addition, the fact that there's a way to rectify it. What do you do with leftover carbon meat? Ba'ish disrofu, you burn it. You don't get malchus for that either. But nonetheless, even though when it comes to stealing, it's a lav hanitak la'aseh, and therefore there's no malchus, nonetheless, that will disqualify someone for edus. Our Mishnah is a list those who are pasul eidus midivrei sofrim midrabbanan. Why? Because these people, even though they may not have the title of a rasha because they didn't violate a Torah prohibition, nonetheless, they're suspect to violate averos regarding money, and therefore we're afraid they may testify by, let's say, taking a bribe, for example, and we're also concerned that when it comes to Eidus HaKodesh, maybe they will come, they're suspect, maybe to testify falsely as well, even though there's no money involved. Eilu hein hapsulin. Number one on the list is Hamasachek Bekuvia. Masachek Bekuvia are dice players. And really, any sort of gambler is prohibited. The Gemara has a machlokes amoroim about this. Rav Sheshis in Sanhedrin on Daf Chav Beis, this is where this Mishnah is found as well in the third parak of Sanhedrin, refers to someone who gambles as his profession. The reason why he is pasul eidus is because he's not what we call osek b'yishuvo shel olam. He doesn't contribute at all to the welfare of the world. Such a person who's not doing anything constructive in the world, not working and not studying Torah. So this is not someone who would have any sensitivity towards the needs of others and therefore wouldn't have any problem testifying falsely to have someone lose money because he doesn't really know what it means to lose money. So he's not embarrassed to testify falsely. So that is one opinion. That's Rav Sheshes. And Rabbi Bar Chama says, no, any gambler is ineligible, even if he has another profession. So according to him, what does it mean? What's the problem then? If he is Osek B'Yeshuva Shel Olam, so then what's the problem with somebody who has another profession? So what are you afraid of? Why is he going to lie? So the answer is, it's not so much that. He's a Gazlan. He's a Gazlan Midrabbanan. Midoraisa, he's not, because by gambling, the other person willingly gives up the money. But Midrabbanan, because we know we assume the other person doesn't really want to give up the money at the end of the day. So that is the problem. This is brings us into the issue of what we call asmachta. Asmachta is where someone is somech, someone is relying on the fact that he is going to win, let's say, when it comes to this, when it comes to the gambling, and therefore he doesn't really, he's not interested in giving up his money, so the other person is really gazlan midrabbanan, and therefore both sides have potential problems being gazlanin. Asmachta in this context is where someone someone is, once again, he's relying on the fact that he's going to win and therefore doesn't give up the money. So that type of asmachta, the Gemara has a machlokas, whether asmachta kanya, asmachta lo kanya. If asmachta lo kanya means that the other person cannot be kona as something that a person didn't really want to give up at all. Sometimes asmachta can fall into a category. You have examples where someone promises something in an exaggerated form. And say, oh, if I don't do this, I'll give you $1 million. And the person ended up not doing that. They didn't plan on not doing that. So therefore, they never planned on giving $1 million. Giving up that $1 million for the other person is considered really taking money that doesn't belong to him. Nonetheless, it's only midrabbanan, because at the end of the day, the person promised the money. The person ends up giving the money. They were sitting gambling. That's what gambling is all about. So that's the first category, is mesachek bekuvia. Next is umalve beribis. People who lend money with ribbis, with interest. Now, the Torah prohibits lending money with interest, as the Isra is both on the mouth of the lender who's collecting the ribbis, and the lover is going to pay the ribbis. Either way, it's prohibited. The only thing is that they're only disqualified from edus midrabbanan. Torah doesn't consider such a person a thief, because this person, after all, he figures, listen, I justify the fact that I'm either paying ribbis or collecting ribbis. In this case, malva ribbis. We're talking about the malva, one who lends the ribbis. Why? Because after all, the guy needed a loan. He was willing to pay the money. It's with full consent he's paying the money. So such a person is not suspect that he's going to lie necessarily. Certainly midoraisa, he's not a ganav, let's say. But nonetheless, we're concerned a little bit midrabbanan, and therefore that's going to be prohibited. He's going to disqualify him. Then umafriche yonin. Mafriche yonin also has two explanations. Sanhedrin adaf kafhei. One opinion is that they're racing pigeons for money, and that's why it's similar to dice players, and it's the same issue. Is it an osek biyishuv shalolam, or it's an asmachta? It's considered gezel midrabbanan. And others say no. We're not talking about that. Mafriche yonim, I don't need to give another example of Masacha Bekuvia. Clearly, mafriche yonim means something else, and it means people who lure pigeons from someone else's nest to his house. Now, why is he not a goslin doraisa? He may not have even a goslin derabbanan. After all, the pigeons that flew in there to the other guys, they're not his. They flew in there. So he didn't make a real kinyan on them. If I lure them, the only problem is darkei shalom. It's not really good. You want to maintain the peace between neighbors, between people. You shouldn't be luring the pigeons towards you. Nonetheless, such a person is pasul midrabbanan. Visochare shvius. And people who are dealing with Shemitah fruit. Now, the produce that goes in the Shemitah year, and we know you're allowed to eat, you just can't engage in business with it. The buying and selling is not allowed. So, and this is an Isser d'Oraisa, derived from the Pasuk says, Le'achla, the fruit is there for you to eat, and therefore we derive V'lo L'Schara. So people who are dealing with Shvius produce are disqualified. Now, hold on. Why, if they're doing something that's Usra D'Oraisa, why are they only disqualified midrabbanan? So here you have several opinions in the Rishonim. According to Tosfos, we're talking about Shemitah Bizman Azeh. According to most poskim, it's Shemitah in Eretz Yisrael Bizman Azeh, where there's no Beis HaMikdash, and there's no Yovel. So it's only midrabbanan. So it's only midrabbanan. So Socher HaShvius are only disqualified for Edus as well, midrabbanan. That's why they're on the list in the Mishnah. According to the Ran, no, the people who are dealing with Socher HaShvius, they're not really aware that they're doing anything wrong. Why? Because what are they using the money for? They're going to use the money to buy produce, and they're going to be very careful to eat the produce with the Kedush HaShvius to make sure there are certain halachos that apply, as we learn in Masech HaShvius, that apply to produce that grows in the Shemitah year, and they're going to be very careful with that. So if I'm using the money that I gain from selling Shemitah produce to buy produce, to buy food that I'm going to treat properly, so maybe I'm not such a bad person. According to the Rambam has an interesting interpretation of our Mishnah. He's not talking about people who are dealing with Shemitah fruit. Such a person maybe should be pasul edus midoraisa. He's doing an issa deraisa. He's a Rasha, and therefore should be pasul edus midoraisa. But talking about people who only engage in business in a Shemitah year. Notice the Mishnah didn't say socharei peiro shvius. It said socharei shvius. People who are doing business only in the Shemitah year. Such a person, what are we afraid of? Why are they doing business only in the Shemitah year? We're afraid, aha, maybe they're really doing business with the Shemitah produce. But we're not sure, so therefore, they're only asur midrabbanan, because after all, I haven't seen them doing business with the Shemitah produce. I just know that they're engaged in business only in the seventh year. The other 6 years, they take off. And then the Mishnah says, va'avadim, and you know who else is pasul eidus? Avadim. Is an Eved Kanani. You have a Jew owns an Eved Kanani. So here, they're chayv and mitzvos like a woman. The truth is, think about Avadim, but they're non-Jews. Women are pasul la'edus. So why would I have thought they are kosher la'edus? And maybe I would have thought, maybe for Kiddush HaChodesh, maybe they should be allowed. After all, if they're not, we don't suspect them of anything and they're not going to testify falsely. So maybe they should be okay. After all, Rabbi Shimon in the previous mission allowed relatives, Krovim, to testify. Father and a son could testify. Maybe he would allow this as well. That's why I need the Mishnah to tell me Avadim are no good. Zah, klals. The Mishnah gives me a general rule. Kol Eidus. She'ein o'ishak sherala. Afhein einon ksherala. Any edus that a woman cannot testify for, these people in this mishnah who are disqualified midrabana, the mesachah bekuvia, mafricha yonim, ave beribis, etc., are also not kosher. What that implies, of course, is if there is edus that women are kosher for, so these witnesses who are disqualified midrabana are also kosher for. What would that mean? So says the Bar Tanura. He says kigon lahoid liisha shemes bala, to testify to when true a woman doesn't remain an agun. To say that I saw that indeed the husband passed away, lahatira linase, to allow her now to remarry, or v'chein lahoyed al sota shenitmes shalotishta, to testify that this sota became tamei, which now the halach is we know she was mitamei with this man. The halach is that she doesn't drink. So these also those if that a woman's kosher to give that testimony, these edim are kosher as well. But says the Bar Tanur, avol psulin ba'avera min haTorah lo hichshiru chachamim be'edus ha'isha. If you're pasul, a real rasha, pasul ba'avera min haTorah, you're not kosher of this edus isha to testify the husband died. Ah, they were machshir and eved and isha. They're pasul min haTorah. That's okay. They're pasul for different reasons. But someone who's pasul because they're a rasha, they're not kosher even for edus isha to testify that the husband passed away. We're Rosh Hashanah Perek Aleph Mishnah Test. Misha ras haChodesh, but ve'eno yachol lahalech. Person saw the new moon, but he can't walk. He's weak. He's sick. So now, we spoke about the issur of going past the tchum, which is an issur d'rabbanan. We said that that was allowed. Says the Mishnah here, there are other things that we would allow. He can't walk. Molichin oso ala chamor. Now, riding an animal, we discussed in Beitza. You're not allowed to ride an animal because I may break off a branch to help guide the animal, help direct the animal. So, and there may be actually a Torah prohibition, what we call machamer. If, let's say, the donkey belonged to the person who's riding it, or someone leading it. Leading an animal, riding on an animal that's yours, that's called mechamer. Based on the pasuk in the Aseres HaDibros, we speak about who has to rest on Shabbos, atah, and you and your family, etc., and then it's in a vehemtecha. And the Gemara darshins, atah vehemtecha, what malacha is involved, what prohibition is involved where it's you and your animal, that's mechamer, that's leading the animal, riding the animal, making the animal go because you shout at it. That's an Isser Doraisa. That actually may be one of the Isserim Doraisa that's not actually a Malacha. It's not one of the 39 categories of forbidden labor, but it's still Usser. That's what we call Mechamer. So here, the Torah, the Mishnah is telling us that even if it may lead to Mechamer, since desecrating the Shabbos of Kiddush HaChodesh is allowed, so we would say that this should be allowed as well. So that's what it means, molichin oso ala chamor. Of course, if I don't have to use the chamor of someone else, if can I avoid the isra of machamer, that's exactly what I'm going to try to do. Let him ride on an animal, on a chamor that doesn't belong to him, to avoid an isra d'oraisa, and riding an animal then would only be an isra d'rabbanan. And the Mishnah says, afilu bamita, And let's say a person is so sick to even to ride on the animal, he can be carried in Rishus HaRabim, even in a bed through a Rishus HaRabim. Now that's even a more serious violation of Shabbos. Carrying in a Rishus HaRabim is an Isser Doraisa. Nonetheless, we allow that as well. Now you would say, wait, maybe that's not an Isser Doraisa. We know the concept of Chai, no Seis Atzmo, someone who's alive, someone who's dead in a bed and you carry them outside, that's an Isser Doraisa. Someone who's alive, a live person, literally carries himself, which would only make the carrying in a bed a Derabbanan, carrying the person a Derabbanan, not necessarily. Why? Because this person is very weak, this person is very sick, this person is very, very elderly. The concept of Chai no Seis Atzmo may not apply here, and this would be indeed an Isser Doraisa, but it's allowed. Vim so de lahem. Let's say Bartanu says so de lahem is orave, there's an ambush. People wait lying in ambush for them. And people would. At the times, people try to avoid who would be there to help to ensure that these people who are to try to discourage them from coming would be the Baisusim or the Tzedukim, the people who didn't believe in all of this. So they would try to keep them from going. Says the Mishnah, Lokhim Yanim Aklos, then you got to take weapons along. You can take sticks along. That's not a problem. Or any weapons that you need, they can take in their hands. And if it's a long trip, so then it's very distant, so they're allowed to take food along with one thing we should ask is that the Mishnah says you're allowed to carry the witness, the person who saw the new moon in a bed, even though that's an Isser Doraisa. So why do you have to speak about weapons and food? That's also an Isser Doraisa. So the answer is because which one of these is really needed? I need the person to testify. So then there's what to talk about. We can do an Isser Doraisa to get the guy there. But to tell me, well, there may be people lying in ambush, so bring sticks along. Oh, well, I may be hungry, so we should bring food along. Maybe I would argue that's not absolutely essential, and that we would not allow. The Chiddush of the Mishnah is you're allowed to do that. Weapons and food, whatever you need. Because, for this trip, we're allowed, the Mishnah is mentioning usually how long it would take, right? Why do you need to take food? Because it could take a long time. The evening and the day till you got to Yerushalayim from wherever you are. You could be far away in Eretz Yisrael where you saw the new moon and you're traveling. So for that, we allow Shenemar. And how do I know you can be Mechal of the Shabbos? And that's the reason why we allow you to take food along and weapons along, because it's a long day, it's a long night, it's a long trip. Shenemar, how do I know you can be Mechal of the Shabbos? Eilem Moade Hashem, Asher Tikru Osam B'Moadam. What's B'Moadam? So B'Moadam is Afilu B'Shabbos, as we have in other cases. The Korban Pesach is Doche Shabbos, because it says B'Moado, specifically in that time of Bris Milah, is Doche Shabbos as well. The Torah says B'Yom HaShemini, even the eighth day, no matter what. So we look for the emphasis that something can be done even on Shabbos, on that particular time. Says the Bar Tanura, V'chol Mokom Shenar Bar Moed B'Moado, Doche Es HaShabbos.